now. Can you just raise your hands in this building? I believe the Lord is doing a work in hearts and minds right now. If you've got the ability, if you've got the breath in your lungs, can you just raise your hands and begin to glorify and begin to acknowledge the Holy Ghost that's ushered in itself into this room, God, beyond compare, God. There's nothing greater than you, God. There's nothing more powerful than your anointing. There's nothing more wonderful than your blessings, God. You strengthen me in my time of need, God. You are my safe place, God. You're the rock in the middle of a storm, God. I praise you because you're worthy. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. I just feel the Holy Ghost in this room. God, I pray right now, wherever you're at, you just lift your voice and begin to glorify Him. Can you continue to praise Him right now? God, I praise your name. He's beginning to do a work right now. He started the process. He's beginning to change and make a way. He's given strength where there once was weakness. He's given hope where there was once desolation. God, I pray in Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. God, I pray in Jesus' name, it's moments like this when strength comes to you in your weakest moment. It's moments like this when power permeates into the building and gives you the ability to overcome fear, doubt, worry, and anxiety. God, I pray in Jesus' name. If you can just reach out, put your hand on the person next to you and begin to pray right now. Don't worry about your own needs. Don't worry about your own things. But begin to pray, God, whatever you need, whatever the situation is right now, God, I pray that you step in, God, that you give strength in brokenness, God, that you give peace in turmoil. Hallelujah, Lord.
Wonderful. How beautiful. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. How beautiful. How kind and lovely. Isn't he beyond compare, rich and rare, marvelous and holy, isn't he?
So wonderful, so beautiful.
Oh God, I pray. Jesus' name. God, I pray.
I am greater than every mountain you are facing. I am
In Jesus' name. Koyololorosia baba shota. Koyololorosia baba shota yata. Baba shota ta. God, I pray right now, Lord, that you move. God, right now. Oh. God, I praise your name. Can we just take a second across this room right now and just acknowledge the word of the Holy Ghost that just was spoken to us? Whatever you need, the Lord is here. He's never going to allow you to go through a trial or a tribulation by yourself. He's going to be with you. He's going to be right there all the way. Every battle, every storm, every adversary that you face, you're not facing it alone. God is with you. He's fighting for you. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, Lord, I pray. Oh. The Holy Ghost is trying to do something in this house right now. Jesus' name. God, I pray. Jesus' name. God, I pray. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God, I pray. Tuesday, I began to prepare and began to think and focus on what I was going to speak on and preach. And unbeknownst how our week would go, and unbeknownst to me, on what may or may not be, But the next few minutes I want to preach, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on Him. Philippians 4, and I'm going to read just a few scriptures. We're going to pray, and then I'm going to let you sit down. Philippians 4, verse 6 says, be careful for nothing. King James Version actually says, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. For the next few moments, I want to preach, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Let's pray. God, you're already doing a work, and I believe there's already miracles that have begun to take place. God, but I pray for the next few moments, God, you allow us to receive your word. You allow us to receive your message, plant it into our hearts. God, we already had tongues and interpretation declaring that you're here in the room and you see where we're at and what we're going through. So God, I pray, Lord, that you change our hearts and our minds to be fixated and focused in on you, regardless of the storms, regardless of the tribulation or the turmoil that's happening in our lives. God, I pray that when we walk out of this building today, God, we walk out with our heads held high and fixated and focused in on you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may make your way back to your seats. If you go and you begin to look at this scripture, you begin to read and study, you'll see that Paul is writing these words while sitting in a jail cell. He's chained, he's confined, he's uncertain about his future. He's probably taking a little bit of a beating. He's not in the best place. We think about 2026 and jail cells and their miserable, uncomfortable things. Now let's go back 2,000 years and imagine the depth of depravity that Paul must be sitting in and what a cesspool of disgust he may be in. Yet, instead of speaking fear, panic, or defeat, he begins to speak peace. How in the world is he capable of doing that? It's pretty simple, Brother Weiser. Even though he's in a jail cell, surrounded by dreary and surrounded by worry, his eyes don't see the problem. His eyes see the answer to the problem. His eyes are fixated on Jesus and not his own circumstance. Many people today are losing their peace because they're fixated and focused on everything except for Jesus. They're fixated and focused on all of their problems instead of the problem solver. We watch the news today until we are fearful. Oh no, what happens next? World War III, coronavirus 77, end of the world. What's going to happen? Republicans take over, Democrats take over. What's going to be? We become consumed by the what ifs, We can be consumed by what the may be's. We look at the economy. Anybody else got a 401k app on their phone? I have the problem that I'm starting to look at my 401k app and going, ooh, good day. And then the next day, ooh, bad day. Not so, just so you know, Friday was a bad day in case anybody hasn't looked. I'm like, oh no, what am I going to do? How am I going to survive? What's it going to be? We look at problems until we're overwhelmed by the problems. We look at people until we're disappointed by the people. But when you fix your eyes on Jesus, peace becomes possible even in the middle of the chaos. If your eyes are fixed on Jesus, you'll never see what the problem is. Because his goodness is so great. His power is so overwhelming. It's so overcoming. You can't see the distractions or the worries when you're focused on the greatness of God. Matthew 14, verse 22. I'm going to read a few scriptures. Many of you probably have heard this story. It says, "And immediately Jesus made his disciples get into a boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain to pray by himself. Now when evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now on the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It's a ghost.' And they cried out for fear. But Peter answered and said, 'Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water.' So he said, 'Come.' And when Peter come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him, and said to him, 'O ye of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when he got into the boat, the wind ceased. Peter walked on water as long as his eyes were fixated on Jesus." I like to think of this and paint the illustration. Sometimes we think in small terms, Sister Faulkner. We think, oh, he took two or three steps out. You know, he just a little bit, oh, look at me, I'm walking on the water. First of all, let's not downplay him walking on the water. It's incredible that he's walking on water. There was a bunch of other dudes in that boat, and none of those other dudes had enough faith to say, "If it's you, call me out." I mean, there's 11 other guys that saw some miracles take place, and those 11 other guys were terrified. They're like, no, Peter, go ahead, buddy. It's all you. But Peter said, "Let me step out to you." And Brother Weiser, I imagine it was pretty grand where he made, let's call it 100 yards. I mean, he came to meet Jesus. It wasn't that he was going to look back and be able to grab a hold of the boat, but he got a ways out there. And he was probably saturated head to toe because it was the middle of a storm and waves were crashing all around him. The wind was blowing in his face. And then he took a second, Miles, and realized, "I'm not supposed to be here. The moment he took his eyes off Jesus, I don't know if it was like a cartoon and he just began to comical music behind him. I don't know if that's what it was. I don't know if it was a Wile E. Coyote moment where he's standing out in space because he overran the cliff and stands there for a second, looks around, and then just drops. But I do imagine this, that he's completely submerged under the water, and that Jesus reached his hand down and pulled him up and chastised him. "O ye of little faith. You were doing just fine, Peter, until you took your eyes off me. You were doing awesome. You were doing what I needed you to do. You were doing what was called to you to do. But the moment you took your fixation off of me and realized that there's problems going on around you and that there's chaos happening, everything begins to fall apart. The storm didn't sink Peter. Losing focus is what sunk Peter. See, the enemy understands and knows that he may not be able to destroy you, but if he can distract you, if he can discourage you, if he can shake your faith just a little bit, if he can do it enough just to get your eyes off of Jesus and your eyes onto the problem, then everything around you can begin to sink. You have to understand, distraction is one of the enemy's greatest weapons. People are distracted and consumed by the fear of tomorrow. I don't know how I'm going to pay the bill. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know, am I going to have a job tomorrow? I don't know what's going to go on. Some people are consumed by the regret of yesterday. Well, I did that horrible thing, and because I did that horrible thing, I'll never be able to be the person that I am today. There are more people handcuffed by their past than they are by their future. I'm going to say it again, because I feel like there's some people that might be holding those handcuffs right this second. The person that you once were, once you come to an altar and you repent of your sins and you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you're baptized in Jesus' name, you are no longer that person. Your sins have been washed away. Your brokenness has been taken away. I once was a sinner, but now I'm free. I can't carry it. I can't carry that sin and guilt any longer. I can't allow it to handcuff me. Too many people are not being used in the way the Lord intends you to be used because you're handcuffed from yesterday's sins. God forgave you of it. Don't let your failures dictate your future. God sees a future in you, and a future that is a reflection of Him is a great, great future. Some people struggle with pressures of today, living up to expectations, doing great things, leaving people in awe of amazement. See, if Satan can't destroy you spiritually, he'll do his dead level best to distract you. Young fellas, young ladies, your distraction might come in the form of somebody is the opposite sex. I'll go ahead and preach to the other ones and I'll get a couple more amens. How many people do you know who used to sit on a pew that got distracted by someone in the opposite sex, that no longer sit in a pew, no longer walk with God, are they're full of heartache, grief, anxiety, frustration, and divorce because they allowed a distraction of the opposite sex to overwhelm their focus on God. If you haven't had friends that had that happen yet, going to happen. Don't let it happen to you. Right. Fellas, there is not a pair of great legs that will ever take you to heaven. Right. Ladies, there is not a hunk of burning love of muscles, rippling goodness that is ever worth going to hell over. Right. It doesn't matter how handsome he is, or how suave he is, or how he treats you. If he don't love the Lord, if he don't live for God, if he don't make that a priority, guess what? All that is down that road is hurt, brokenness, loss, and frustration. Keep your focus in on him. Paul says, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't allow anxiety to dominate your life. It's not the way you're intended to be. You can't do anything about it. Just hold on. Understand. Just because you're keeping your eyes focused in on Him and you're praying and you're reading your Bible doesn't mean that you're not going to face trouble. There's nowhere in Scripture, anywhere to be found, that says if you pray every day, read your Bible every day, fast 6 times a week, give 90% of your tithes, do all of these things, that you're never going to face a problem. Nowhere. But when you do face a problem, and when you do face a trial, guess who's there to protect you in it? Guess who's there to help you overcome through it? Faith doesn't deny that the storm exists. Faith simply declares that Jesus is the greater thing in your life. No matter what the storm is, Jesus is greater. No matter what the trial is, Jesus is greater. No matter what the bill is, Jesus is greater. No matter what my frustration is, Jesus is greater. No matter what my brokenness is, Jesus is greater. Brother Casey talked about it in first service, if you weren't there. Paul gives the remedy for anxiety. I'm going to help you out. Fellas, husbands, it is not just get over it. That will not work well for you, right, Liz? If I said just stop. Just stop worrying about it. Does not help. But prayer does. Prayer might not give you an answer. Prayer might not give you a healing in the situation. But prayer will give you strength to face the adversary that you're dealing with in that moment. Prayer will allow you to overcome whatever that situation. Philippians says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. Prayer is not just talking to God. Prayer is refocusing your attention to God. When life gets noisy, prayer helps us hear His voice again. When life gets heavy, prayer reminds us who carries our heavy burden. When life gets uncertain, prayer reconnects us to the one who never changes. He's been the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is my rock and He is my strength. He is my firm foundation. He's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. He's the piece that gives the strength in the storm. It is not possible for you to consistently and constantly look at Jesus yet remain hopeless in your situation. It is impossible for you to have confidence in Jesus, to have confidence in the Lord in every situation, as long as your eyes are focused on Him. He's the one that spoke the earth into existence. He's created the winds and the waves. He knows every hair on your head and the sand of the sea. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's got your problem. But unfortunately, some people spend more time talking to everybody else about their problem, their anxiety, their situation, than they do talking to God about it. Paul says, pray about everything. Thank God in everything. Trust God through everything. I don't know if anybody's ever got to the point where your dog ran away, your lawnmower broke, you ain't got no gas in it, you ain't got no steak in the fridge, all you got is ramen. It's not even the good ramen, it's shrimp ramen. And you ask yourself, who in God's name bought shrimp ramen and brought it into my house? They're my next problem I deal with, but tar and feathers high on the list. And you go, look at, I'm talking about you're beat up. You're beat down. And almost laughingly, well, God, at least I'm not sick. At least I got my health. At least my spouse and kids are healthy. Anybody ever get a flat tire on the side of the interstate? I mean, say, at least it's not raining. At least it's not snowing. I got a flat tire on the side of the interstate while it was snowing and while it was sleeting, and my jack didn't work. My prayer was, at least I'm not by myself. I had my idiot friends to make fun of me the whole time. You find the good things. And when you become to have a thankful heart and you thank God for what He's already done, fear begins to lose its grip on the situation because God is still in control. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to believe in Him. He's capable of handling the situation. We live in Amish country. Most, even our guests that are around here, you see Amish buggies. We dodge Amish buggies taking our kids to school. The Amish horses have blinders on their eyes where they're only looking forward. They're not looking about what's going around them because there's a car going 80 miles an hour around them, and they would get scared and skittish. But if a horse is focused and fixated on where they're going and not worried about the distractions, folks, we need some spiritual blinders in our life. I'm not worried about the trials. I'm not worried about the transgressions or the situations. But if I keep my head up and I keep my focus on the one who spoke the world into existence, I know I'll be able to make it. I know that I'll be able to survive. The enemy cannot turn your attention. He cannot trouble your spirit. If your eyes remain focused and fixated on Him, stability comes back into your life. If you're able to keep your focus in on Him, everything can come together. Well, understand. Help me. Yep, come on. Yep. Look at this dude. Tell you what, breaking heart. You're going to play the broken person. You're going to play trials and troubles. Casey, go be Jesus. Be angelic. Go, that's good. That's great. That's Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Anxiety, come here. Temptation, come here. Bitterness, come here. Childhood hurt, come here. Fear of tomorrow, come here. Worry of today, come here. All of these things can surround you. And they, let's just look in the physical sense. All of those big, impending, fearful things surround him. Little old me. Look how fearful I am. Look how small I am. Look how big God is. Look how powerful God is. And when you make steps, kind of try and make steps towards it, people are going to distract you. Your troubles are going to go with you. And they're going to try and knock you around. And they're going to try and make you off balance. And they're going to try and frustrate you. And it's real simple to get off track. It's real simple, just for a second, look away. To walk, you didn't mean to. It wasn't intentional. You wanted to keep your eyes on God. But temptation got a hold of you, and temptation began to speak sweet nothings in your ear and began to tell you, well, you don't really need that stuff and you don't really want that stuff, and I can supply great things for you. Here, come with me. Look how great it is. And temptation can lead you astray, and you never, temptation lead them astray. I'm preaching, you're listening. And you never intend to get to a place where temptation takes you. A place where temptation takes you so far away from God I have sat in vehicles with people who used to attend church, who used to pray in altars, who used to worship and believe the exact same thing that I believe, and says, I don't know how I got here. I never intended to be in the place where I'm at, where I'm so far away from God. It's not what my intention was. Somehow, I just got off the path. Began to focus in. You know, the great thing about loving the Lord and living for the Lord is no matter how far down the wrong path that you go, no matter how bad life gets or how far away you go from God, you can still turn back and you can still keep your eyes on Him and begin to walk with purpose and determination. Begin to walk with a gusto and say, I'm not worried about what tomorrow brings. I'm not worried about what it is. But if I trust you and if I believe you. And we just had tongues interpretation a few minutes ago. And the Lord spoke and says, I'm here with you. I'm with you through your trials. I'm with you through your situations. If you keep your eyes fixated and focused in on Him, He'll lead you through every temptation, regardless of what comes your way, regardless of what comes up in focus. Just keep your eyes, keep your eyes, keep your eyes, keep your eyes. You can go back. God gives you peace that doesn't make sense. We've got people that's sitting here in this church that have watched sickness wreck their families, destroy everything, yet there's comfort that comes upon them. You can't explain it. It doesn't make sense to you. It shouldn't make sense. But it's the peace that passes all understanding. Sister Linda, I will always remember, as weak and sick as Brother Jeff could be, and some days were worse than others, but you and him would come, and he would make his way right about here in this pew, and I would come and pray with him, and he wasn't strong enough to stand. He was so weak, and he was so sick, yet tears just began to stream and say, I love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for every situation, even though he was in pain, even though he was in discomfort, even though he wasn't promised tomorrow, he still fixated and focused on him. Oh, life changes when you focus it on God. I'm not worried about tomorrow because I know he's in control. He's the author and the creator of my story. Fear and confusion have nothing to do with God. He's not the author of that. I understand that my peace comes from Jesus. The world's peace comes from financial strength, good health, no conflict, no problems. Nah, God's peace can exist in the middle of pain. God's peace exists in the middle of a hospital room when the doctor says, I'm sorry, I don't know what we're going to do. God's peace exists in the middle of a financial struggle. My wife and I, just last week, 2 weeks ago, week and a half ago, we were standing here in the parking lot. A couple of days ago, we were talking about, I don't know if anybody else realizes this or deals with it, a dollar's not what a dollar used to be. $10 ain't what it used to be. $1,000 ain't what it used to be. We said, I don't know. The Lord's blessed us. Casey talked about his salary has doubled what it was. The Lord's blessed us. I said, if you would have told me 15 years ago I'd make the money that I'd make now, I'd be dancing in the aisles. Thank you, Jesus. You've blessed me far and above what my means or imagination are. But it still feels like we're the same place where we were at 15 years ago. I thought I'd get a bigger amen than that because I know where the... I said, "What?" I think actually Liz said, Lord knows. God knows. He's always taking care of us. I said, you're right, he's always taking care of us. 20 minutes later, an hour later, my phone rings. Hey, will you come preach for us? Yeah, absolutely. I'll come and preach for you. I'll be more than happy to preach for you. And I text Liz, hey, just so you know, we're going here next week. We're going to go preach here. Look, the Lord's always faithful to those who are faithful. We said we didn't know how we'd help it, and we needed some money to buy this, and the Lord sure blessed us with that. Let me just tell you, the Lord didn't just bless us with that. He doubled the blessing. I don't tell you that for any other reason than to brag on God. That we have a conversation. We're worried. We're fearful. But God. We don't know, but God. He's done it in the past. He'll do it again. Little did we know, it would come in the form of a text message 20 minutes later. God is always faithful. I've just got to keep my eyes on Him and trust and believe that He's capable of providing. He's capable of supplying. Jesus brings peace to you in the middle of your storm. He brings peace to you when you're waiting for answers. One of the biggest moments of fear is in the fear of the unknown. What may be. I don't know if anybody else, but anybody else ever get a situation where it's like just you don't know what's going to happen and you automatically go to doom? Well, the earth's going to split open, lava's going to shoot out, and then my check's going to bounce. Automatically go there. No. He gives you peace in the middle of the waiting to find out what may be. He can calm your nerves and calm your fear. Well, it could be cancer. It could be this. It could be leprosy. It could be indigestion. None of us ever go, well, it's probably indigestion. All of us are going, I got a tumor and I'm going to die. Okay, maybe only Isaac does that. The rest of you guys. That situation, he brings peace. He brings peace to you. I've mentioned this before. Miles, sorry, buddy. You're just going to be an example of God's greatness as long as you live, pal. I hope you can carry that burden. Miles was 5 years old. He was so sick. 54 days, something like that in the hospital. 68 days. A lot of days. We came to see you, buddy. You weighed about 40 pounds, soaking wet. Super duper sick. Leukemia throughout his body. Liz, myself, and Pastor came to visit you, and your mom was there with you. I'm sorry, Zanetta. Miles was so sick and so weak that he couldn't walk. And he was down in the game room, and they brought him up to his room. He was just this little guy. And I watched as he got lines and IVs in him. And Zanetta picked him up and carried this 5-year-old tiny child. Said, I'm going to go put him in his bed. And Liz and Pastor and I stood out in the hallway and cried. Cried with sorrow. Cried with fear. Cried with worry. Your mom took you in and put you in the room, and I think she turned on the Nintendo Switch or the PlayStation or something like that. You didn't really do anything, and all of us are out in the hallway crying. And we're, whew, wipe that away. We didn't want to walk in and be the babbling idiots out in the hallway, but the whole time, Zanetta and Rose and Landon, I'm sure you had moments of fear and worry and tears. But in that moment, I saw the peace that passes all understanding defined. In that situation where I'm thinking as myself as a parent, pastor as a parent and a grandfather, how we would handle or how we would do in that situation. I remember getting in the car and saying, God, if we're ever in that situation, give us that kind of peace and grace that Zanetta possessed in that moment. He'll give you peace that's uncomprehendable. He'll give you peace that doesn't make sense. Peace that will leave people standing. How are they doing this? What are they going through? How are they able to stand and raise their hands in worship when all I could think of is I would be weeping in defeat? How are they able to do that? Well, in that instant, in that moment, I can tell you, Zanetta's eyes were not on the problem. Zanetta's eyes were on the waymaker. Zanetta's eyes were on him. God, you gave him to me. I believe you're going to keep on protecting. I believe you're going to keep on strengthening. The answer's simple. As long as my eyes are fixed on Jesus, I can persevere through. Sister Liz, I'm closing. Paul says God's peace shall keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. The word keep actually means to guard like soldiers protecting a city. When your mind is fixed on Jesus, fear does not have free access. When your mind is fixed on Jesus, there is no cracks in the defense walls. When your eyes are fixed on Jesus, no matter what adversary comes against you, it meets the all-encompassing power of Christ, the protection that is. Bitterness does not have free access into your life when you're in the keep of Jesus. Panic does not have free access when you keep your eyes fixated on the one who supplies. The enemy often attacks your mind first, because if he can influence and control your thoughts, he can influence the direction that you go. That's why you cannot be fixated and focused on politics. Can't be focused on the culture of what is. You can't bow down to fear, and you can't be focused in on people. You come into a church building. The Holy Ghost is here every time you walk in this room. You cannot be fixated on did they sing the right song. You cannot be fixated on did they shake my hand. You cannot be fixated on the financial strength of your wallet once you walked into church. God, I need $10,000 in my bank account so I can live for you. If that's the terms and dictation that you set, guess what? Your eyes are not fixated on Christ. You come to a church and they sing, I don't really like that song. I'm going to give Eric a hard time. Eric hates Reckless Love. He hates that. He's not doctrinal right. Eric's in the back starting a bonfire with a computer. Can't believe they're singing that song. We joke about it. It's okay. You know what? The Holy Ghost can still use a song that you don't like. You know what? The Holy Ghost can still use a preacher that you don't like. Did you know that you are the only thing keeping yourself from a breakthrough? Did you know that you are the only thing that stands between freedom and burden? It's not the troubles of tomorrow. It's not God. It's you. It's your pride. You're saying, God, I can't do it by myself. Maybe you've tried to do it by yourself for too long and you're just so tired and swollen. Hear me in this situation. I'm preaching to you. lay your heavy burden at His feet. Lay your brokenness at His feet. Lay your sickness, your frustration, your shortcomings, your doubt, your anxiety, your depression. Lay it down at His feet and fixate yourself on the one who can provide. The greatest miracle and the greatest gift that can possibly be is you saying, God, I surrender all. The secret to surviving difficult seasons of life. I'm 43 years old. I've went through some difficult seasons. Some of you have went through some more difficult seasons. When I'm 83, balder and fatter than I am now, I've experienced more difficult seasons as well. But the secret to surviving these seasons, let me talk to the young people, is not denying the fact that these seasons exist. You're going to have storms in your life. You're going to have brokenness in your life. Dean Selena, you're going to have problems in your marriage. Not because your marriage is broken, but because you're two people that have two different personalities and will have two different opinions. Any other married folk in the room, give me a little amen. Amen. Got real scared for a second. They were just leaving you on an island. There's going to be storms. You're going to have sick children. You're going to have bills that come due. You're going to have fear. You're going to have doubt. You're going to have worry. It's going to happen. But the secret to surviving these difficult seasons is not pretending that they don't exist. The secret is to keep your eyes on Jesus. I know that things aren't going great right now, but He's going to take care of us. I know the kids are sick, but He's going to take care of us. Do you remember when the moment came and He provided for us? He's going to do something even bigger and greater. I know the winds of life blow against us, but He's protecting us. I don't even feel it the way I should because He's in control. Isaiah said, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee." Peace is connected to focus. If you focus on problems, anxiety grows. If you focus on people, disappointment grows. If you focus on fear and worry, discouragement grows. But let me tell you, if you focus on Jesus, if you focus on Jesus, peace grows. As we stand across the auditorium, I'm going to open the altars. Maybe your mind is overwhelmed. Maybe fear has stepped in and crippled you. Maybe anxiety has robbed you of your sleep. Maybe fear has clouded your faith, which once was overwhelming and incredible. It's now dwindling and fearing away. It's the opportunity, the moment that Jesus is calling, hey, come back. He already spoke to this room and said, hey, I'm here. Cast your cares and your worries upon me. I'm here to take your brokenness. Folks, I don't believe it by a chance that you're here to this day underneath the sound of my voice that God wasn't speaking directly to you, saying, come on, I'm here. It may not be a big, overwhelming, crazy problem. It may not be cancer that's stricken through your body. Maybe it's just a little inconvenience. Maybe it's just a little something. That's okay. It's time to come and give that little something to God. Take it out of your pocket, lay it down at the altar, and put your eyes and your focus in on Him and say, God, I know it's not a big problem. It may not be overwhelming, but God, if you can help me with this little problem, God, I know I'll be able to give you glory and honor for the bigger problems that are on my horizon. I'm going to ask as a church, it's time to bring your worries. It's time to bring your cares. Too many times on a Sunday we hit 12:25 and everyone's turning and looking at the clock. That's not for today. Every single person underneath the sound of my voice, you're dealing with something. You're struggling with something. You've got some kind of worry or fear. Folks, it's time to put your eyes on Him. In a world of chaos, it's time to fixate on the One who brings peace in the time of the storm. I'm going to ask as a church, you step out in faith and find a place to pray. That you step out as a church body. Maybe you're uncomfortable coming to an altar. That's okay. Step out anyway. Life begins at the edge of your comfort zone. Step out and say, God, I've worried about all of the problems too long. It's time for me to step in faith and believe. I don't know what tomorrow brings, but I know the One who raises the sun and sets it the same. So I'm going to trust you in every situation. God, I'm going to come and lay it